I'm Captain Kevin Smith, and this is Throttle Up, a radio show and podcast dedicated to the proposition that critical thinking, when employed, can dramatically improve performance in whatever we are doing, enable us to solve problems that others avoid, equip us to become thought leaders instead of followers, and provide us with the intellectual resources and moral courage to support and defend America and its Constitution. Our motto is clarify, reason, win. That is, clarify the actual, employ analytic reason, and achieve mission success. Our website, throttleupradio.com, that has all kinds of information. Also, our podcast is located there, as well as iTunes. And of course, we have a blog, so please visit our website. Our support staff, Evergroove Studios for audio engineering services. They are located in Evergreen, Colorado, and Reflections Printing for multimedia support, and they are located in St. George, Utah. Our book is Critical Thinking Essentials, Quick Reference Handbook. It is available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. Our broadcast time on Red State Talk Radio, we are on the weekends, both Saturday and Sunday, on the main channel, that's at 7 p.m., and the Encore channel, that's at 6 p.m. Okay, welcome back to Throttle Up, and we are going to be continuing our special edition of Throttle Up. This is our second special edition series, and this special edition involves big picture thinking, and so we're going to do a number of episodes. This is the second episode of Big Picture Thinking special edition. And the reason that we're doing this is because, well, for one thing, we have just finished a series on critical thinking, which I think is particularly important today because there's a lot of stuff out there that's being promoted that emerges from individuals or groups that are not particularly good critical thinkers. I guess you could say that that they lack critical thinking skills, and they are trying to occupy our mind space with what I call essentially is intellectual nonsense. It doesn't make any sense. It's kind of self-serving in a narrowly defined way. And intellectually, it's vacuous. It's a complete nonsensical what they're proposing. Now, you notice that a lot of people out there from various organizations and various disciplines want you to buy into two things. Number one is that they have accurately articulated a particular socioeconomic problem. Okay, that's number one. Number two is that because somehow they have insights that you and I do not have, they have, in fact, come up with a surefire solution to this socioeconomic problem. And in many cases, this socioeconomic problem has reached a crisis level. So it is a national crisis, and we need to do something rather quickly. We don't really have time for long drawn out debates, and besides that, we're pretty much in tune with the proper solution. And so they want to foster this proper solution on us, except for one thing. If in fact we are critical thinkers, and eventually we will also become big picture thinkers, if we are, then fostering on us this intellectual nonsense is simply not going to work. So that's the reason for these two series. Now, one of the things about what I call, for want of a better term, I call it the thinking industry. Now, there's a lot of things out there, kind of like in the mental or the cognitive self-help arena. There's a lot of things out there that have been produced. There is a lot of videos. There's a lot of books. There's a lot of audios. And I guess I'm sort of like adding to that in a sense. What I'm trying to do is to try to take a big picture view of this whole industry and how it can help us in the pursuit of our major goals and objectives that we each and every one of us has. Okay, so what occupies the thinking industry? Well, we have. Now, and we can organize this in all kinds of ways. The way I like to organize it is draw it out some kind of a picture format. The center of the picture would be big picture thinking. I kind of believe that's the centerpiece. Others would argue with that. Okay, fine. If that's, if your cup of tea is something else, I know some people are very much involved with and very enthusiastic about something that's called design thinking that's kind of popular today. If you want to make that your centerpiece, that's fine. There's lots of ways to look at it. There's not any one particular way that's necessarily better than anything else, but I'm going to give you my take on it. I'm going to tell you how I look at it. I come from an area of a lot of experience in this field and lots of things that that I was involved with. So everything that I am going to present involves hands-on experience with some rather important and difficult projects and design initiatives that I was involved with. And many of them were important, not just for a particular industry, but they were important nationally. Okay, center of my my drawing is, or the big picture thinking, it takes the centerpiece. And then we have surrounding it, we have critical thinking, systems thinking, design thinking. Also, we have abstract thinking, analytic thinking, strategic thinking, creative thinking, innovation thinking. I know there's actually a book about that I have read, mission system thinking, and there could be more. All right. I'm not saying this is an exhaustive list. This is a kind of a representative of what the thinking industry is all about. Okay. So we're going to focus on for this show and some future shows. I might say podcasts as well. We're going to focus on big picture thinking. And I think big picture thinking sort of like encompasses all of this. And we've been, you could say that we've been in some cases, we've been working around the margins, we're working around the edges. But what is the centerpiece? What is the target that we are trying to achieve? Exactly what is it that we're trying to do? Okay. Well, I can tell you that, all right, because I've had some discussions with some of my colleagues recently. What we're trying to do is we're trying to optimize human performance in a complex world. That's what we're trying to do. That is a tall order. However, that comes from the area or from the perspective of big picture thinking. So if we are trying to optimize performance, human performance or human machine performance, if you will, in a complex world, how are we going to do that? The first order of business is to employ big picture thinking. That's my view. That's the first order of business. Okay, that's great. And so how do we do such a thing? That's a particularly good question. And that comes from the field of critical thinking. All right. Critical thinking helps us be comfortable with the word how. How is it that you are going to achieve such a thing? It's related to why. They are both very, very similar. Some people like the why better than the how. Okay, fine. I like the how better than the why, but they both basically mean the same thing and they both can serve the same purpose. So how is it that we are going to optimize performance in a complex world? Again, I'm going to reiterate it for emphasis. We are going to first and foremost employ big picture thinking. Big picture thinking is going to embrace many of the other aspects of thinking that we have talked about. It will embrace critical thinking for sure. Okay, that's a given. It will also embrace systems thinking for sure. That's a given. We will be talking about systems thinking in more detail on this show and in subsequent shows. That's a particularly important area that we will be discussing. Strategic thinking is the third big one. And last but not least is design thinking. That's another big one as well. So we have critical thinking, systems thinking, strategic thinking, and design thinking. They are all supporting elements of big picture thinking. Now, that's my take on it. That's my view. I think it's pretty much agreed upon if you read the big picture literature and watch the big picture YouTube videos. I think it's pretty much agreed upon that that is these are all part of the big picture. Okay, so the first order of business here is to come up with the definition of big picture thinking. Big picture thinking is a term that's thrown around in many cases. That's kind of thrown around loosely. I'm not really criticizing anyone. I'm delighted, actually, that people are actually talking about big picture thinking. And and so if they are, then let's see if we can come up with a definition. And many of you may be more or less involved in something like this. I know a lot of people have been out there discussing and writing and publishing books on the subject. There's not a lot of there's actually a lot of videos if you went to a YouTube and typed in the search bar big picture thinking. There's actually a lot of videos that have something to do with it. They're not, some are better than others, obviously. And and that's okay. I'm glad that there is a lot of videos because there does seem to be a lot of interest in this area. I think the interest is growing. I think it's growing rather rapidly. I would say that the three big things are in the cognitive arena. The three big things are critical thinking, complex problem solving, and big picture thinking. There's a rather interesting, and I would recommend this book. It's called Thinking Big by Dr. Ben Carson. I would recommend that book in terms of trying to understand what is it that we need to know about big picture thinking. Okay, so here is my definition, and it's still in working order. It's not definitive, but I'm going to throw it out there because it's something that we should all consider, right? Whenever we are getting involved in something like this or in anything, we have to be able to define what we are talking about, define our terms, define our initiative. If we are involved in a big picture thinking initiative in our personal lives or in our organization, then we need to have a clear definition of what that means to us, what that means to the organization, how we can all agree upon this particular definition, or another way of saying that is what is the mission statement for the big picture thinking project or big picture thinking initiative. All right, the definition. Here goes. Big picture thinking. Big picture thinking considers the wholeness of things, overarching attributes, and the mission or intended purpose such that a complete picture emerges from what is often chaos and confusion. Okay. Now, I'm going to say that again for emphasis. I know this sounds like it's going to be a little bit redundant, but I think it bears repeating. I think it's particularly important that we begin to understand it. I'm going to I'm going to memorize it and create some kind of a mnemonic to help me, but I'm going to memorize this definition. And then, of course, I will modify it somewhat because everything we do is, I would consider it to be a work in progress anyway. I mean, I think I am a work in progress and everything that we do ought to be. I don't think there's anything. There is not a single definitive answer for anything. I think we are trying very hard, all of us, to achieve success. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's a serious struggle. Anyway, big picture thinking. Big picture thinking considers the wholeness of things, overarching attributes, and the mission or intended purpose, such that a complete picture emerges from what is often chaos and confusion. So we could say that big picture thinking is an antidote to what we often encounter, that is chaos and confusion. And I would say in this modern industrial world, in this complex environment that we live in, we will often encounter things that are confusing. We will often encounter things that appear to be chaotic or may very well be chaotic. People running around trying desperately to put out these brush fires and not knowing what exactly they should be doing. That's organizational chaos. I have seen this manifest itself many, many times in my professional career where we have organizational chaos. We may have individual chaos. We may be mentally confused about a whole bunch of things. I remember recently, I mentioned this last week as well, but I was speaking at a business conference in Nashville, Tennessee recently, and I noticed a few things. Number one is that a lot of what and the business conference was populated by mid-level project managers, and I noticed a couple of things about the audience. Number one, they were all great people, and I enjoyed my time there. These are super great people, and they're working very hard, albeit in difficult circumstances, because while all of these projects are going on in all the industries across the board, every single one of them have projects because they're trying desperately to stay up with competition. They're trying desperately to fix flaws in the product lines that they have already, and they're trying desperately to upgrade their products to meet the latest version of technology or the latest demands by the user. Mm-hmm. Often what's happening here is that these projects are started because the user is dissatisfied with the operation or the use of these products and services. So that is okay. So yeah, there is a lot of confusion. There is a lot of chaos out there. There is impending catastrophes in many cases. We have seen what has happened when we don't pay attention to that in a particular industry recently. This happens to be the aviation industry, where they had recently encountered a catastrophe. Why they didn't see it coming is a great question. Should they have been able to head it off at the pass? I would say, from my perspective, yes, they should have, but they didn't. Okay, so it is a confusing world unless we have some way to help us understand chaos and confusion, break through this confusion barrier. It's also called the quagmire of complexity. We'll break through this and to be able to do something useful and productive and effective and efficient, or optimize our performance in a complex world. Okay, so big picture thinking also should consider or involve the continuous awareness of the following four things. All right, so if we are in fact going to become, or if we are in a particular case or situation or a particular environment, we are proposing that we are employing big picture thinking, there are four things that we have to keep in mind simultaneously. Okay, now that's a little bit tricky to do, but it's a learned behavior, and we can do it. It just takes a little bit of practice, but we can do it. We have to keep at least these four things. Now this is my take on it, and so I'm not saying that you shouldn't come up with your own. That's fair, but this is my take on it. Big picture thinking involves the maintaining the continuous awareness of, one, the environment that you're operating in, two, the situation that is emerging, three, the operation that you're performing at the moment or soon will be performing the operation, and four, the overall mission. Okay, so again, big picture thinking involves the maintaining the continuous awareness of the following. One, the operating environment. Two, the emerging situation. Three, the targeted operation. And four, the overall mission. And why do we need to do that? We need to do that so as to achieve optimum performance in a complex world. All right. So that is, that's my definition. Now, we will be playing a short audio clip here. I think it's particularly good. It's a little on the long side, but I think it's worth it to take a little bit of time and see what others are also talking about. This is a very important subject, and so I want to treat it very, very professionally here. And I want to bring in other thoughts and ideas from other people, because I think it it's important that we understand that this is a an emerging area. This is a growing in importance. This particular arena is growing significantly in importance. And so we're going to be examining this in, you know, in some a level of detail that will hopefully be useful to all of us. So let me get this thing up and running, and we're going to listen to this audio clip. Okay, we're back, and we're going to be playing this short audio clip, and the title of this is Why Most People Can't Think Big, Magic of Thinking Big. So here goes.
There is an eagle who lived in a chicken farm, thinking he was a chicken. One day, the eagle saw a massive bird flying in the sky. "I sure would like to fly up there too," said the eagle. The rooster standing nearby said, "Don't be silly. You're just a chicken like the rest of us. We can never fly like that." So the eagle listened to the rooster and died believing it was just a chicken. First off, let me just mention that this isn't a video about positive thinking. If you're the type to think, "Oh, let's think positive and the world will be a better place," that's great, but that's not what we're talking about today. While the book does promote positive thinking, it's a lot more than that. It's about thinking big. This book has taught me a lot. While I'm by no means a millionaire, I've come a long way from the little boy living with his parents a few years ago. If I look back at my journey so far, all of this wouldn't have been possible without the magic of big thinking. The first step to thinking big is to avoid making excuses. How many times have you heard someone say, "I'm too old to do this. I'm not as good as the other guys. Blah, blah, blah." Yeah, you could be too old to be a diaper model, and you could be too short to be a professional basketball player. But you are never too anything to become successful. I used to be a bartender at a restaurant, and I remember this one day, a businessman came into the bar and we had a chat about the economy and business and everything. And I asked him, "You seem like you're really passionate about starting a business. Why don't you?" And he goes, "Oh, I can't. I'm married with kids." If we can blame our inability to become successful on our spouses or children, or even the lack of time, even if we didn't have a wife and kids and had as much time in the world, that attitude wouldn't have gotten us anywhere. There's a saying that if you want something done, give it to the busiest person you know. And the truth to that statement is busy people don't make excuses. They get things done. So instead of whining about how disadvantaged we are, we could use our time to improve and actually become better. We really aren't as disadvantaged as we think. There's a saying, "I cried because I had no shoes until I met a man with no feet." The second step to thinking big is to not worry ourselves with trivial things. During Thanksgiving, we had family dinner, and I remember this argument my mom had with my dad. She's like, "Why didn't you defrost the turkey sooner? You were supposed to do it 2 days ago, not yesterday. Blah, blah, blah." And this went on for the whole night. I remember one time she brought up an incident that happened 20 years ago and said, "I had to wait for your dad to pick me up for 2 hours." We all know someone who loves to gossip and talk about trivial matters. I'm just going to go on a whim and say that they're not successful. Am I right? People who think big don't have time to focus on petty things. Unless they're famous and have a TV show about their life, they're probably not successful. So the next time you grab a bowl of cereal and find out that someone in your house drank all of the milk, who cares? Eat some bread. The next time you trip over something, fall in a puddle of mud, and tear that expensive shirt you just bought, go read a book or something. Trivial matters are not worth your time. And most important of all, don't underestimate the power of thinking big. When I first saw the title of the book, I really thought the title explained everything. Just think big. Think positive. But after reading the book, I realized that had the concept of thinking big not been explained in hundreds of examples, we wouldn't realize the importance of it. When I first started this channel, I thought, oh, I love these animated videos by Fight Mediocrity. Wouldn't it be nice to do something like that too? And that's exactly how most people think. Oh, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if I was rich? Wouldn't it be nice if I could buy a house and retire early? But wouldn't it be nice won't get us anywhere. And then something happened in my life. I'm a strong believer of being in charge of our destinies. I believe that if someone wants to achieve something, they should have the opportunity to do so. But after visiting a few less developed countries, I realized that it's not the case. If you're born in some parts of the world, no matter how badly you want to be successful, you can't. And it dawned on me that in order to make a difference in this world, I'm going to have to first do something extraordinary. And I won't get there by thinking, oh, wouldn't it be nice? And it was then, and only then, that the quality of my content started to improve. How big we think really plays a part in how big we become. To recap, don't make excuses on why you can't be successful. Don't worry about trivial things. And most of all, don't underestimate the power of big thinking. Since successful people and unsuccessful people look exactly the same on the outside, let me ask you this. How do you, or anyone else for that matter, know that you are not the eagle?
Okay, that was pretty good. I actually like that a lot. That's some good discussion. I particularly like the part where trivialities often get in our way, and we need to be able to stop or slow down or even entirely eliminate trivial thinking and look at what really is important. I guess you could say that for every one of our encounters, we need to step back just for a moment and consider what's important, or what's really important here. Do I need to make a point, or do I need to understand this thing from a broader perspective? What is occurring here that is significant or impactful in our lives and in the lives of our community, our loved ones, and stuff like that? So that's a particularly good audio clip, and we will be doing discussing these kinds of things in the future, and looking at, you know, I think the big thing here is that if we begin to understand what big picture thinking is and the various ideas that contribute to it. We heard someone talk about big picture thinking, thinking big, avoiding trivialities, avoiding what other people think of you, thinking independently. Often you have heard the term think outside the box. That's all part of the thinking big process. There's other things, and we're going to get into those, other aspects of thinking big. We talked at great length on the show about critical thinking, or applied critical thinking, or thinking critically and in complex environments, stuff like that. Of course, that's all part of it. But there's other things that come into the equation for big picture thinking. And I think probably the most important of that is higher order reasoning. So you could say that big picture thinking and higher order reasoning are similar ideas. Okay. I would agree with that. I believe that that big picture thinking and higher order reasoning are in fact similar ideas. I think they are complementary, and I think we need to consider, if we want to be better, if we want to be better big picture thinkers, then we need to consider those key aspects of higher order reasoning that could be helpful in our desire to be big picture thinkers. And we're going to get into that in quite a bit of detail. But right now, I want to start introducing the idea of there's two ideas here that closely align with big picture thinking. And so I believe we have to embrace both of those. Higher order reasoning and systems thinking, they go hand in glove, and they directly support our efforts to become better at big picture thinking. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to play this other audio clip to sort of like set the stage again and to begin to consider not only what the last audio clip talked about, which was, you know, thinking outside the box, reducing or eliminating entirely trivial thinking and stuff like that. And now I want to introduce another concept that directly supports big picture thinking, and it is called systems thinking. It comes from the study that is often referred to as general systems theory. We covered the beginnings of that last week. General systems theory started this whole initiative that we could call systems thinking or systems theory. And so this is a very important part of big picture thinking. So we're going to start this audio to begin our discussion of this particular area so we can begin to grasp its meaning in a way that will be helpful to us. Here we go.
Systems thinking is what we call a paradigm. A dictionary definition of a paradigm would read something like this: a worldview underlying the theories and methodology of a particular scientific subject. Thus, we can understand a paradigm to be the foundation that shapes our way of seeing the world. It is the assumptions and methods out of which we build our theories. Now, there are two fundamentally different paradigms within science. One is called analysis and the other synthesis. Analysis is the traditional method of reasoning taken within modern science, whereby we try to gain an understanding of a system by breaking it down into its constituent elements. On the other hand, synthesis, which is the foundation to systems thinking, works in the reverse direction, trying to gain an understanding of an entity through the context of its relations within a whole that it is part of. But let's start by talking a bit about analysis. Analysis is based upon the premise that our basic unit of interest should be the individual parts of a system. From this follows a process of reasoning called reductionism. Reductionism is the process of breaking down or reducing systems to their constituent parts, and then describing the whole system primarily as simply the sum of these constituent elements. Reductionism is often described in terms of a three-step process that we use for analyzing things. Firstly, we take something and we break it down into its constituent elements. This is deeply intuitive to us when we wish to understand how a car, bird, or business works. The first thing we do is isolate it by taking it into a garage or lab and decompose it into its constituent parts. Secondly, once we have broken down the system into its most elementary components, we analyze these individual components in isolation in order to describe their properties and their functioning in isolation. Lastly, we recombine these components into the original system that can now be described in terms of the properties of its individual elements. The reductionist approach is the fundamental method behind modern science, and by extension, our modern understanding of the world, and it has proven highly successful in many ways, from understanding atoms and DNA to designing the modern corporation and nation-state. But as successful as it has been, it also has inherent limitations to it. Because we understand systems by breaking the parts down and isolating them, the reductionist paradigm systematically and inherently depromotes the relationships between these components. Thus, within this paradigm of reductionism, the whole system is implicitly thought to be nothing more than the sum of its parts. Thus, analysis works well when there is a low level of interconnectivity and interdependencies within the system we are modeling. Although this may be true for some systems, it is certainly not always the case. Many of the systems we are interested in describing have a high level of interconnectivity and interdependency, examples being ecosystems, computer networks, and many types of social systems. These systems, in contrary, are primarily defined by the relations within the system and not the static properties of their elements. We can and often do continue to use analysis to try to describe them, but the reductionist approach is not designed for this, and thus we need to change our basic paradigm to one that is more focused upon these relations as opposed to the components, and this is where synthesis and systems thinking comes in. Synthesis means the combination of components or elements to form a connected whole. It is a process of reasoning that describes an entity through the context of its relations and functioning within the whole system that it is a part of. Systems thinking is the process of reasoning called synthesis, and it is also referred to as being what is called holistic, meaning that it is characterized by the belief that the parts of something are intimately interconnected and explicable only by reference to the whole. Thus, synthesis focuses on the relations between the elements, that is to say, the way those elements are put together or arranged into a functioning entirety. And like with analysis, we can also identify a few key stages in this process of reasoning. The first step in the process is to identify the system that our object of interest is a part of. Examples of this might be a bird being part of a broader ecosystem or a person being part of a greater culture. Next, we try to gain a broad outline of how this whole system functions. So, for example, a hard drive is part of a computer, and to properly understand it, we need to have some understanding of the whole computer. Lastly, we try to understand how the parts are interconnected and arranged to function as an entirety. By completing this process, we can identify the relations within which our entity is embedded, its place and function within the whole, and within systems thinking, this context is considered the primary frame of reference for describing something.
Okay, so systems thinking as part of big picture thinking, very similar and complementary. I would say that systems thinking involves a large part of big picture thinking. Big picture thinking does not just look at the system, but looks at other aspects of the system, like where is it located? What is the environment in which it is, in which it occupies, and what are the characteristics of the environment that it occupies? Now, this is also an area that I'm particularly interested in, and it is also, I would say, it's one of the key areas that is most neglected when we begin to try to understand the big picture. When we try to employ big picture thinking, we spend very little time on the environment and how it could or how it does impact us, how it impacts our performance. So we're trying to do something here. We're trying to achieve some kind of a mission objective. We have a purpose for what we are doing and what occupies our mind space. We have a purpose for it. Okay, so when they talk about systems thinking as a particular paradigm, it is different than conventional thinking. Conventional thinking would be based upon reductionism. That's something that we are fairly familiar with. It is part and parcel of our educational curriculum through grade school, high school, up to college, post-college education, stuff like that. And many organizations want reductionism as part of their thinking process because they believe that looking at these components in isolation deeply, that they can actually produce a better product. The problem with that is that most of what is being produced utilizing this kind of thinking are standalone devices. They kind of like stand alone. They don't really connect very well. Even if they do connect, they connect very poorly. They're not considered to be part of a broader system. You can say that we have a lot of informational delivery systems, but what is the broader system here? A lot of these things are poorly connected. They're getting better, of course, but they're not anywhere nearly as effective in terms of connectivity that they should be. All right, so systems thinking, it has to deal with how things are related to one another. The first and foremost is not what the system consists of in terms of its individual components or constituent parts, but what is the relationship among these components or constituent parts? How do they interact? How do they relate? These interactions are particularly important. And they are fairly difficult to understand because we don't have a lot of cognitive tools to help us. We have some, but they're not very, a lot of them are not really designed very well. I'm sorry that sounds a little bit harsh, but the fact remains, this has been and still is a large part of what I do. And I will tell you that many of these components don't connect very well. The coupling recipes between these functions are non-existent or poorly designed in the first place. So how do these constituent parts connect? Another way of saying that is if we have three or more components or parts of a system that are in and of themselves variable. Their quantification represents some kind of variable quality or variable aspect. So they are variable and they interact. So the so we can call them, there's an official term for this, they are considered to be interacting variables, okay? And how does that work? And what does that produce for us? We have these interacting variables. How can we understand them in a dynamic sense? And how does that work for us? What does that do for us? What does that produce for us? And when we begin to look at things from a big picture perspective, we begin to see that we can make interconnections more viable. We can introduce interconnections into this large-scale system more effectively so that it can perform better, or we can understand its performance better. If it is a system that is performing, but we don't quite understand how is it that it is doing such a thing because it's very complicated, very complex, then we can introduce these informational gathering systems that look at more than just one thing at a time. And some of this, you could say that some of this is related to machine learning. Some of this is related to AI. I would say, okay, yeah, probably, although I think a lot of AI and a lot of machine learning is functioning at a very low level of cognition, if at all. A lot of our AI is point specific in its applications, and it generally cannot go outside of a particular point in a particular program direction. It tends to be more of a linear kind of arrangement than a network kind of arrangement. And I'm not saying that neural networks or networks are not being produced, but they're kind of convoluted and hard to understand still. And so, okay, you know, that's enough of this, a deep dive into this field. And I know it's a little bit, it gets a little bit mind-boggling here, and it's not particularly interesting either. As far as I'm concerned, I would like to stay at a higher level of understanding this thing or look at it from a higher level. And that's the reason why we're doing big picture thinking. That's the reason why we're doing this show, this series and stuff like that, is that we can, I think we can find better solutions in our complex world by employing big picture thinking. And there's lots and lots of examples for this. The classic example that I like to talk about or mention is the Checklist Manifesto by Dr. Gawande. You might pick that up. I would recommend it. This is certainly a solution that was discovered by Dr. Gawande that represents big picture thinking. He deserves a lot of credit. Okay, we have now reached the end of another show and podcast, and so we will move along. Well, that went fast. So this is a close of another show, another Throttle Up. And before I go, I would like to acknowledge a few people. I'd like to thank my listening audience for being here. And I would like to thank Red State Talk Radio for providing us an opportunity for each and every weekend to put on this radio show that we call Throttle Up. And I would like to thank all of you veterans out there. Thank you for your service. And I would like to thank the families of the veterans. Thank you for supporting this noble cause. And I would like to thank all of you on active duty in the Guard and the Reserve. Thank you for serving this great country of ours. And with that, I would like to say goodbye, and we will see you all again next week.